Hello everyone, my name is Chris Urgle. I'm here today to teach you how to code like a ninja. This is a Visual Studio tips and tricks session, so be prepared to learn some new things in Visual Studio 2010. So the first thing I want to talk about are new features in IntelliSense. You guys love IntelliSense, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, IntelliSense is great until you get a large list of methods. In 2010, we now have a filter, a camel case filter, and we have a Pascal case filter. You'll see what this means, what this gives you in a few minutes. We also have a new feature in IntelliSense that allows you to declare a variable or a type that does not exist yet, then instantiate it, and it will show up after the new keyword. This is great for test-first development. So let's jump into Visual Studio. I am going to open up a test inside NerdDinner. You guys use NerdDinner? Find out. It's a great meetup tool for geeks. All right. We're going to go to our dinner's controller test. And you're used to IntelliSense. Let's get rid of this. Used to a standard IntelliSense where I start typing in mock dot. And we have some methods come up. And as you see, we have a bunch of setup methods. And one of them is set up all properties. So what the Pascal case filter gives us is I can type in SA. And it's going to come up on the screen. Let me zoom in on that. All right. So this allows you to find your methods without having to filter through the entire list yourself. It also works on camel case. And we should take a look at the new feature built in that allows us to declare undefined types. The button in question is this right here. This allows us to go into suggestion mode. With suggestion mode, we type in the type. It will tell us this is the type that you're typing, but these are the things that we suggest you use. This is great because whenever you start typing in something and it doesn't exist yet, it's going to try to give you a type that already does exist. And you press tab, and you know it can drive you crazy when everything's popping up on the screen that shouldn't be there. So let's type in my new controller. And it's not coming up with anything. It automatically changed it to machine key. My new controller becomes machine key. That's no fun whenever you're doing test first development. So with control shift space or control alt space, we're now in suggestion mode. As you can see, it lit up. So I can type in my new controller. If you notice, there is a little box, if it will stop going away. If you notice, there's a new box that's above all your class types. And it doesn't exist yet. I can type in my new controller, controller equals new. And as you can see, it's coming up inside our IntelliSense. So remember, to get to this, control alt space. I know many of you prefer using a keyboard over using a mouse, and you want to take your hands off that keyboard to go clicking around. So control alt space is your shortcut key to get to that. Next thing is the start page. How many of you guys use the start page? Nobody? You turned it off? Okay. I don't blame you. It gets in the way sometimes, but there are some new features to make it useful, to make you might reconsider bringing it up. As you notice, Visual Studio 2010 is completely redone in XAML. So is the start page. In fact, it's XAML. And it allows you to do things like pin your projects. These are your commonly used projects that, while you're working on little test bed projects or prototypes for your company, you may want to keep the projects that you commonly work on at the top of the screen. This is important because it also shows up on your taskbar. It also allows for project removals for when you're working on those projects you don't want your boss to know about. And back in the day, back in before 2010, the only way to get rid of projects was go into the registry and delete them. So this is a welcome new feature. As I mentioned, you get it in your taskbar, and you can access your taskbar through Windows Alt key and whatever the order is inside Windows 7. That's more of a Windows 7 feature, but it's still handy. So let's open up our default task page, or excuse me, start page. And it looks like I have a different start page up already from where I was previously. Default start page. So this is our default start page. The only recent project I have in there is Nerd Dinner, since my screen is kind of small here. And we can pin this to the top. And if I right-click here, I'll see that it's pinned at the top of the screen. What that means, if you have your Visual Studio 2010 in the taskbar already, yes, sir. So let me open up the start page again. It's really hard to see without. Which one did that? It looks like I pinned two Nerd Dinners. Let's pin this Visual Studio Tricks. And you already see the new thing where I can actually right click this and remove from list to get rid of it. That's pretty awesome. But I probably need to refresh this again. And there is a little bit of a sync issue. As you've seen, the pinned tasks are still down here, even though I've removed them from the list. That does go away once you restart. It does not look like it is working like that, and it may require a restart of Visual Studio or a restart of your system to resync them. I guess it's not perfect. So as you've seen, I already have a custom start page. I kind of revealed that a little too soon. If I go to Options and choose Startup, this is where you can turn off your start page. So if you really don't like it, just open up your home page, show the open project dialog box, or load the last load solution. That's particularly useful if you guys are using the same solution day in and day out. But we're going to show the start page. And I made a little star. Star page. Hey, my star page is now a star. Yeah, it's not very impressive, I know. If you really want to look at a star, or if you're really good at XAML graphics, you guys can put something really cool in there to start your day. All star pages are XAML files. You can edit them at will. I'm going to open up my code like a ninja. .xaml. This is the other start page I showed you. And I'm going to find where I was before and remove it. Yay. Okay, so let's take a look at this start page. This is pretty much based upon the original start page, and I am bringing in these namespaces right here. So it's giving me access to the Visual Studio shell. You could also bring in other namespaces for items that are inside your GAC, and you could add, like subversion source control to here, or whatever your team needs. You can put links to everything your team needs. That's kind of built into the standard start page. But if you have a portal that you want your site to open, this is the place to do it. So let's open this up. Options. Code like a ninja. Hello, Den Haag. Woohoo. And notice I've removed Team Foundation Server. Maybe I don't use Team Foundation Server. I personally do. However, if you don't need it, then you can put all your recent projects at the top. Another thing to keep in mind with the start page is that you guys probably have news websites you read, maybe at blogs.msdn.com. And you can add the RSS feed directly into it and have it update whenever you want. If you prefer .netshoutout.com or another website that has an RSS feed that you prefer, then this is the place to put that. And I really do think this beats the news feeds that were in 2008. So let's get to the fun stuff, the things that will make you code a little bit faster. The code editor. Everybody likes using code editor, and you probably have that little smart tag that needs to be popped up, and that makes you feel like you need to use the mouse to go hover over that thing, right? Well, if you want to pop that up, it's control dot. That is the single most useful thing that I know of. I type in something to rename it, press control dot, enter. Renames. How many of you use Control-Shift-F to find things in files? Wow, everybody. Just about everybody. Trust me, when you bring up 600-something hits and you have to filter through that by eye, there are better ways to do that. Inside 2010, we have Navigate 2. I'll show you a demonstration of how that works. Another thing that you may find interesting is that you can get that metadata. You can press F12, go see how things would have decompiled. And there are tools out there that will let you actually decompile them while they're on the screen. And there's also the multi-line edit. Was anyone in my session earlier today? Okay, so a couple of people have seen this. Someone specifically asked about it. Okay. Let's go back to our account controller tests. Zoom in a little bit. I'm going to rename this result. I'm going to call it view result because maybe I want to be more expressive. Okay, so we have the tag popping up already, the one I would normally have to hover over. And that's cool, I can go clicking around. Or let me put it back to where it was before. I can press control dot and bring it up and then press enter, all without moving my fingers. This works for any situation where you would have that smart tag pop up. Okay, I have to show the multi-line edit. Maybe I want to, actually let's go up to the top. I want to show, or have some private private members here. And I'm going to create a series of them. I hold down the Alt key and use my mouse to select a series of lines. And I can start typing in. Don't use the mouse. Not sure how to do the box select without using my mouse. Huh, what's that? Alt shift? Oh, you're correct. You guys taught me something. Thanks. And press Alt-Shift and move things around and type in private. Hey, there we go. Alt-Shift, that is an awesome trick. Thank you for that. You should go tweet that right now. All right, so box select is really great. If I really want to see what the string length that attribute adapter has on it, I can press F12 and have it start to decompile it and have all the method signatures and property signatures. But typically we have things like Control Shift F. This is what everybody does. We're going to search the entire solution. And I'm going to find in files controller. Say I want to find my controllers. Press find all. And let's see, how many results do I have here? I have 150, or matching lines, 300. Great. 30 files. Some are probably in comments. Or how about .config? What if I want to find every reference to web.config? That's great. I have .configs here, and I have XML popping up. That's no fun. If I press Control, comma, I can bring up the Navigate to dialog. I can type in .config. It actually filters down to the files I need without all the extraneous stuff that we see on the screen. I can type in WC. And it's filtering by properties. Actually, so that's incorrect. If I type in controller, I get controllershelpers.cs and every single controller we have in the system. Again, it's not 300 hits. It's 42 matching results. Okay, so we have account controller test. It's supposed to have Pascal casing filtering, so let's try that. Account controller test. There we found it, just like we were using with IntelliSense. The interesting thing is that this is extendable. People have put some extra features into it that you can download for regex matching and such. Yes, sir.
Is it possible that I saw the .svn directories occurring in your search results? Is it possible to get rid of that?
To get rid of which part? I'm sorry? The SVN? So you're asking about the source control activation, like it's wanting to sync up with source control? Is that the question? Oh, no. Oh, okay. Which one was that with, controller? Ah. So we want to prevent the SVN base from popping up in here. I am not, wait a second. It would be hide external items, and unfortunately my resolution is not allowing me to get the dialog all the way up. Oh, I can squish it down. Okay, great. There we go. And let me search it again. It's still showing up. That should be an external item. And it is coming up.
That's a yellow exclamation mark, so it's probably included in the project, but not found.
That is probably correct. So demos, that's under helpers.svn text space. Yep, you are correct. So don't include it in your solution. That's the answer. Don't include it in your solution. Hide external items. Make sure I didn't forget anything. We have Navigate to. The other thing that we get with our code header is highlighting. You guys have probably seen this in the past where you need to find something, and that's the thing that we use the Control Shift F for. But most of the time, you just want to see every usage within the same file. And that's pretty much built in. I'm going to show you something cooler with the highlighting later on. But right now, if I click string length adapter, every place inside the solution will be highlighted that uses this. Now I probably need to scroll down, so let's choose something a little easier to find, controller. As you can see, it's highlighted on the screen now. Now, the problem with this is that if you have a large file, it's difficult to find all the usages. But I'll show you a little trick in a little bit to find all those. So we have a couple of new windows. There's actually quite a few new windows. The ones I want to talk about are the code definition window and the architecture explorer window. The architecture explorer window, I believe, requires you to have the premium edition of Visual Studio or the ultimate edition of Visual Studio. And the code definition window is built in. So Control W, D will get us to the code definition window. Control W, N will get us to the architecture explorer window. Now, let's see, the resolution is a little off here, but I did my code definition window up. I am going to bring it down here. And whenever I click on something, say I click on assert, it's going to take me to the definition. If it needs to decompile metadata, it will do so. If it's available source code, it will show it to me. Press account controller. It's going to take us to the definition for account controller. So this is useful if you have a couple of monitors and you want to set this window in a different on a different monitor and see the definitions for things as you type. And it's pretty useful to prevent you from having to hunt everything down. Of course, you could just hit F12 and go to it. There is that. On the same note of that code definition window, I'm not sure if you're aware of this little tag right here, but yeah, if you want to see your source code in two different panes, that's a pretty useful trick. Okay, so the architecture explorer window allows us to see a better view or a more holistic view of our system. Instead of using the solution explorer and looking at everything based or centralized around projects inside our solution, we can see how they're laid out by classes. Or we can see the solution view if you want to look at it that way. But the most useful thing is going to the class view. I can click on everything inside the NerdDinner namespace and click on everything inside the NerdDinner.controllers namespace. And that's pretty useful if you have different projects. And in your projects, they use the same namespaces. I know some people do it. It may not be the best thing in the world, but people do that. So this allows you to get a better sense of how everything's laid out. And also will let you find those crazy namespaces people have in files that they forgot to edit, right? It gives us many definitions. It allows us to drill down into our code. The solution architecture explorer, the architecture explorer window is great for that. There are a couple of other great tools I'm going to show you in a few minutes that give you even better windows. And you've already seen the zoom. If you don't know about the zoom by now, you're missing out. Control mouse wheel. This is one way to get to it. The other way to get to it is control lesser than, control greater than, which usually requires shift, unless you have a crazy keyboard, right? But it's control shift, comma, and control shift period. And whenever you see me doing crazy zoom things on the screen, I'm using Zoomit, which is free from SysInternals, which is Microsoft. Microsoft bought them a while back. And that's really great if you're ever giving a presentation in front of your coworkers. There isn't really much to show with this because you've seen me doing this the entire time. But I can hold Control Shift and then greater than, lesser than as well. And we're going to talk about multiple monitors now. See, 2008 was not great for multiple monitors. You would drag your window out. It still looked like a tool window. It would get lost whenever you closed out Visual Studio sometimes. There's much better monitor support with Visual Studio 2010. Our floating windows, almost everything can be undocked and floated around. And I really do recommend you save your profile. If you ever change the order of your monitors, things are going to get lost or confusing. And it does work with, seamlessly with Windows 7. You can use all your Windows 7 controls or keys to move things around on the screen, your different screens. So it's important to pay attention to what you're going to get right now, what you're going to get in a few minutes. If I open up another piece of content, let me get out of that helpers. Let's go to models and open up dinner repository. If I want to move it somewhere, I can just drag it out, move it off to the side of the screen. If I had two monitors up here, it would be a lot easier for me to move it onto the other monitor, where I could then expand it, which is great for that code editor, the code definition window we saw earlier. And we can pretty much dock this anywhere we want, or inside this space. How many of you guys use regions? Okay. Okay, how many of you don't like regions? Wow, most people love regions here. Okay. I'm going to show you how you can hide code with a region that won't be saved to your source control to bother the other percentage of people who raised their hand. So we get a feature, we can preview and hover. We just hover over the region. It's going to show us all the code inside of the region. We can expand or collapse regions. We can do that inside the gutter as well. We didn't have that feature before. But we get this new thing called ad hoc regions. We can show them with Control-M-U and hide them with Control-M-H. So we select some code, press Control-M-H, and we hide that source code. We want to expand it, Control-M-U. That is not saved in the file. So if someone really wants to hide some things, then that's great. The only downside to it, they're not named. That is a good question. I used to believe it was saved in the current folder, but upon further examination, it is not. So my source on that was incorrect, and I have not discovered where those things are actually saved. But they will not be stored, or they will not be checked into source control. So that is possible. We can I'll open it up later and take a look with you afterwards if you want to check. The important thing here is that we can select some lines, Control-M-H, we get a region. We can still hover over it, still treated like a region. And the thing is, you're going to see over here on the left-hand side that we actually have our squish hub, but nothing outlining that section really. Control-M-U. It's gone.
What happens if you have a region and update your file from source control?
What happens if you have a region, and what?
If you have an ad hoc region,
yes.
And update your file because your colleague added more lines, what happens to the region? Is it still wrapped around those lines, or is it based on line numbers?
Oh, that is an interesting question. Let's try it. We will find out. It's most likely based on line numbers. I am going to hide these two methods inside our dinner model. Control-M-H. I'm going to save this file. I'm now going to close it. I am going to open up Nerd Dinner right here. I'm going to go into our models folder. I'm going to edit this with Notepad++. Okay, just add a few blank lines. Okay. No, it's gone. You're right. It is disappeared. It did not like that. I am very curious about what's happening there, because it does store it if I... Well, we did select it inside of that. Let's type in private string test, just to give us something that we can outline with. Okay, let's make sure that this is working correctly and there's nothing funny with my system. Yes, ad hoc region is still there. Okay. We're going to go in here, file, dinner.cs, and we have our string test. I'm going to just put okay. So we should be hiding up to here if it's going by line number. If it's somehow more intelligent than that, I would be surprised. Or it may get rid of them. That would be actually a terrible feature, and I should never tell anybody to use them again. Wow, they are gone. Okay. Do not use those. Yes. Okay. You guys are interested in seeing how far this can go, aren't you? You know what? I like playing with things too. I didn't think to ask that question, but you know, it's the end of the day. Let's have a good time. Okay, so if I want to add something outside the region, I'm going to go below this location method and put something in. You want me to put it above? Yeah, don't use them. Wow. I was looking over these new features. I'm like, hey, that's actually pretty cool. But it is not working. So let's move on. We've already established, do not use those. So the most exciting thing in Visual Studio 2010 are the extensions. Have you guys taken a look at the Extension Manager? Yeah, of course, by now everybody knows about the Extension Manager. But if you don't, definitely go open it up. It's through Tools Extension Manager. We have an online gallery. Unfortunately, my internet is not working, so we're going to have trouble pulling down crazy things. But we'll work with what I have installed on my system. And they're easy to disable or uninstall. I should mention that in previous versions of Visual Studio, we had a couple options, and they still exist. You have macros, add-ins, and something called MPF. All the large tools you saw out there were packaged in MPF. When you install an MPF package, it makes modifications to your registry. Okay? That's important to keep in mind. I wrote a tool a couple years ago maybe, and as I was writing it, I had made a mistake in one of my classes. And since those classes map directly to the registry, it caused a little bit of a problem. Okay? The problem was that it worked great when you installed it. So I was like, yay, we're ready to deploy. But when you uninstalled it, it actually completely hosed Visual Studio. Yes, because it was apparently going over something installed by Visual Studio in the registry. And unfortunately, you couldn't just uninstall Visual Studio and get Visual Studio back. You had to uninstall Visual Studio, delete the registry for Visual Studio, and then reinstall it. Or if you knew what to add in, you could just add the registry entry. At the time, though, I didn't know what had happened. It was like, oh. I had to do registry compares after I realized what had gone on. So the new thing that's in 2010 is MEF, the Managed Extensibility Framework. So whereas opposed to MPF, the Managed Package Framework. MEF works completely differently. We deploy our packages with things called BSIX files. Now, you guys have probably looked at your Word documents, DocX, inside our new versions of Office. Those are zip files. You can rename them to .zip and pull files out. Same thing with VSIX. VSIX is a zip file full of DLLs and descriptions of where these need to go. So the thing about that is, since they come in these little packages, it makes them very easy to uninstall. There's nothing that's modified in the registry. So we can disable them, uninstall them. And if we have any major problems, run devinf.exe/safe mode. That'll disable everything. And that's a good way to find out if a problem that you're having in Visual Studio is actually due to a plugin or not. I have a few things I wanted to talk about. The first one is the productivity power tools. Are you guys using that? Yes. Download that right away if you're not using that. So I'm going to go to Tools, Extension Manager, and I am going to re-enable my productivity power tools. It's going to require me to restart. There we go. All right, now that we've restarted, I can go to controllers, open up account controller, or any other random controller. And if I highlight, actually, let's go to Dinner's controller. If I highlight this repository, you'll notice I get tags on the right-hand side telling me where all the highlights are. You also find that the tab wheel appears a little bit different. We can actually pin our projects now. That is a setting. Okay, forget about the setting for the moment. There's a setting to make all your pin tabs go onto the top, if you would like. Otherwise, they typically go to the left. And that's really great if you want to close down everything but your pin tabs. So whenever you're working in a file, and it's something that, you know, one of those files that you're going to be working on for a couple of days, or a few files that you're working on for a couple of days, you can pin those. And as you're browsing around to other files, you don't have to worry about those 100 files that are opened up inside your Visual Studio and then clicking XXXXX all the time. You can just right-click and choose Close All But Pin and get the actual files that you need. Okay. Another cool thing that we have in here is the Solution Explorer. It allows us to search directly inside of something that looks very similar to the Solution Solution Navigator. It looks a lot like Solution Explorer. It allows us to search. It's really great for filtering and finding things. And let's open up another file. Yes?
Do you know how to change the color of your line highlighting? Hides the matching braces feature.
The line highlighting? Oh, you're talking about the line highlighting? Well, that is another feature that is in here. You said it hides the matching braces feature. Ah, gotcha. So there is a new feature for the single line highlighting. It tells you which line you're on. I have a tendency to turn that off myself. We can edit everything inside of Productivity Power Tools. And if I dislike that, I can actually go and turn it off. The highlight current line. Turn it off if I want to. What's that? I'm sorry? In the color settings? Let's take a look. So, let's see. Okay, I am not seeing it off the top of my head or from a quick look. What's that? I'm sorry. Oh, you're right. I have to choose what. I'm sorry. Text editor. Okay. I'm going to skip over this for right now, but there's likely a setting inside here that you can use. That's going to take a while to find without me knowing the name off the top of my head. What's that? Okay. Thought someone had the name for it. Another great add-in. Oh, actually, we shouldn't talk about that yet. The first thing I should tell you about is the add references. You guys are used to the add references window, right? That takes forever to load up because it's loading up so many libraries. New add references window caches them all for us. Then if I really want to add a presentation framework to this, I can double click it and it's added and it doesn't go away. I can still add more things. It remembers what I've added so I can, unselect them. We also get our extensions right here. Now I'm going to start up a new project. Without the internet, that isn't going to work too well. Start up a new MVC application project. Okay. Actually, we can't do that because my internet's down. It won't work. Another great feature is NuGet. That's another add-in. So if you go to Tools, Extension Manager, you see the NuGet package manager is installed. Okay? I will show you what to do, though I can't demonstrate since my Internet Explorer is down. I'm going to open up a recent project, which is just... project solution. Projects, MVC application. Which is a way to get cool web helpers to utilize in your MVC apps. What I would do is I go right click this and choose add library package reference. It looks very similar to the way we what we have with the extension manager, right? The great thing is that we can actually get open source projects online. My online is down, but inside this little project, I have helpers installed. I just searched the online gallery for Microsoft Web Helpers. The actual term you should use is Web Helpers. Since I was able to get that, I'm able to pull down Twitter. I'm able to use Twitter directly on my web pages. I'm able to use Gravatar directly on my web pages and a variety of other things. This allows me to do things like... I can pull a gamer card up. Gamer card, HTML. Pass in my name. And that would actually display my Xbox gamer card. So that's a great way to get little helper utilities directly on your site. Twitter goodies dot search. Dev Days 11. This brings up a search box from Twitter with every tag for Dead Days 11. So we do have to skip that portion at the moment. So another great feature, refactoring. You guys like renaming things quickly throughout all your files, right? We can encapsulate fields. Someone was actually asking me about that earlier. You have a private member, and you want to turn that into a property. The easiest way to do that is with the encapsulate field refactoring. We'll take a look at that. The extract method refactoring is great for selecting or highlighting a section of code and extracting it out. And we can extract the interface in the same way, where we don't have to go grab all those method signatures or property signatures and put them into a separate class file. And there's a rename, which typically I just use after I rename something. And I'll usually go through everything with the Control-RR. Control-RR does give you the ability to rename in comments. So let's go back to the Nerd Dinner application. It has everything built into it. And up here I have a dinner repository. If I want to encapsulate that field, Control-RE, it brings up the encapsulate field dialog. And then I can get a dinner repository property. Again, that's one of those things I usually hit Control-RE, enter. Because I typically want the defaults. Extract the interface pretty much works the same way. Do we have an interface for this one? Nope. So when we use the extract interface, we can actually select all the members that we want to put in that interface. And sometimes you're going to have implementation-specific methods that you don't care about. And if we look at this right here, we have an if statement. And we know the only thing that we want to do is assign dinners with this if statement, right? I mean, that's what both lines are doing. So we can hit Control-RM and get a new method. And I'm going to say get dinners or something like that. Press OK. And notice to assign it. Very quick refactoring to clean up your code. All right, so next step. Some other things I wanted to show you guys. There is cool ways to reformat your documentation, your source code, not your documentation. The way you do that is Control-ED, format document. And I can format selection with Control-EF. Another thing to keep in mind is comment selection and uncomment selection with Control-E, comma C, and Control-E, comma U. What's that?
What's the difference between the key combination Control-K, E, and Control-E?
It's keyboard mapping, and they're pretty much the same. Actually, I don't think I have my control. Oh, there we go. That's actually Control-K, Control-D. So the difference is that it's the keys. It's still going to the same call. And you'll find that oftentimes with many things. Like, I do not recall off the top of my head because it's too many key presses, but there is a longer form of pressing Control-Dot that requires a two-character chord. So let's talk about generating those properties. We saw how to take a private field and turn it into a property very quickly. But sometimes we just want to get to a property, or we just want to add a property. You can use a code snippet, like prop. Press tab, it's going to give us an automatic or auto-implemented property. If you want a full one, you can type in prop full. It's going to give us a full property. Start typing in there. But when you're dealing with MVVM applications, anyone here program with MVVM? Okay. This demo will be handy for anybody. There's those properties that are all notify property change, right? And even if you do this right here, you still have to go type in all that mess. I don't like typing all that stuff. So what we can do is create our own snippet. So I've created a snippet right here. I basically copied the snippet out of Visual Studio for prop in, or excuse me, for the full property. And I named it prop in. Inside of a snippet, we're going to have a header section that declares the title, our shortcut being what we type in, prop in, and a few things about the author. The other thing that is important are all those little highlighted boxes that you need to type into. They're like the variables for your snippet. In this case, we're going to have a type, a property name, and a field name. Down inside the code section, I've declared this as C# inside the language. And I've made a seed data, so if it's an XML. And I just put in the same thing that we would get with a notify property. Now, if you're using certain frameworks, this would actually be race property changed. Because I really don't feel like having to generate those properties and then type all that out every single time. To add that snippet, we go to Tools, Code Snippets Manager, press Add, and I'm going to go to press Import. Add will add an entire folder of snippets, which is great if you've downloaded them off of CodePlex. /code, have my prop in snippet. I double click it. It is going to go into someplace I choose. My code snippets is where I'm going to put it. I press finished. Okay. And now anytime I type in prop in, put in my race property change, which is great for model view view model. Or any time that you have code that you can't really abstract away and you're pretty much forced to type it, snippets is a good way to keep from typing all that. So I can say int test, and it changed it inside of the race property changed event or method call. So that's a cool trick. Another thing that's kind of interesting is templating. And T4 templates are pretty much out there. But you guys know about the Razor view engine, right? Inside MVC3? Well, Razor isn't completely a view engine. Razor is actually a templating engine. And someone put out a single file generator for Visual Studio. If I go to Extension Manager, you'll see that I have the Razor single file generator installed. This allows me to do some pretty odd things, like I can go in the controllers, type in add class, have a class file. I want a code file. I'm going to name this test.cshtml. Why is that coming up? Oh, okay, it's our regular editor. It looked kind of funny to me with this line. Now I come into properties, and I can actually put this custom tool in here. I need to set this to none. Put a custom tool in here called Razor Generator. If we open up the test file, it's going to tell us that it couldn't generate because it expects us to tell it what kind of generator we want. And there are a few of them out there. Let's say generator MVC helper. And this starts auto generating code for us. What was that? Class test. So if you want to start digging into code generation, Razor is a way to do it. Still has a little ways to go, in my opinion, with doing a straight code generation because it's really designed for more like generation for text templates or for other types of things. A scenario that might be good is like emails. And the scenarios that work with this generator are things pertaining directly to MVC. Okay, so I believe I am out of stuff to show off the top of my head. Questions, guys? Yes, sir. Can you change the what? I'm sorry? The plate. Where I added the new file? Are you talking about what I just did with the razor thing? Add a class. Can I change the place? Typically when you add a class, it's going to be whichever folder you select. If you want to add a shortcut, then you actually need to add a existing file. Add existing file. And add it as a link. So if you're asking about including a C# file in a different location from the actual folder it's located, you would typically locate it in, then you should add it as a link. Is that your question? I'm not sure if I'm getting it. Yes, add new class. Okay, I'm adding a new. Add new item. It comes from a template. Oh, those are T4 templates. So, I need to remember where the location for those templates are. They're actually in my documents. There are the primary default ones are actually underneath Visual Studio. I think those are pulling up the default ones. I don't think they're pulling up any custom templates. What's that? I'm sorry?
I just saw project templates one step
ahead. Ah, so you're saying it's under project templates instead of item templates. Yeah, it's for a new project, but I was checking it just in case, Just try it. If we create a new template out of one of the class files, it is going to put it in our My Documents section. The default templates, or the ones that are installed by packages, are going under your Visual Studio.
I think there's also an option in Tools. I think there's a way to alter the templates here. Is that template
also? I'm pretty sure that's going with the TT utilities. Whenever you run a TT file that is a text template file that's not built in, say you've installed a package and it wants to run text transformation, because it can do things, it usually shows a security message for you. And I actually have it turned off right now. But the default is going to be true, and you'll see something come up that this package wants to generate code using a text template file. And that's just letting you know that it is going to actually generate code, and you need to go turn off the security message if you get tired of seeing that every single time you run it. I believe, after the first time you went with a tool and you select it or tell it's okay, it will recall or remember that, and it won't be, it won't happen for that tool anymore. But it can be kind of concerning when you develop your own package files and you've included text templates, and someone has it turned on to true because it looks like your utility is doing something to their system. But that's what this section is for. If you want to modify the default templates, there may be an easier way to do it, but my belief is under Program Files x86, 10, packages, non-owner packages. So IDE templates. And no, it is not here. Wow, I do not know the templates directory. I am going to move on, guys, because that's pretty embarrassing. It has been a while since I used that. Okay, so Any more questions? We can keep playing Stump Me all day long. Yes.
If you override a method, can you still easily jump to the overridden method?
If you override a method, can you still easily jump
Some
to the overridden?
You don't know from which base class it was coming from.
You don't know from which base class? You have more than one? I mean, you have, like, obviously you have a hierarchy, but it may start making me... It should jump to the next one in the hierarchy. You would need to keep going to definition for the next one down the list,
yeah.
I believe.
But go to definition also is not possible because you are on
Okay. Let me answer that. Everybody is getting out of here to go to the or to go to Queen's Day. I will stick around after the session, answer any more questions, or we can try a few things out. So thank you very much, everyone. Have a good day. Yes.